Mr. Brooks, Reel 2. You were talking about, we're talking about a typical day's training at Colchester with the Essex Regiment Depot, and you were telling me about hand grenades, and, you know, once you've got the...
Yes, you can keep it in your hand with the pin out, as long as you've got the clip in the palm of your hand, and then the instructor will tell you to let go of the pin, or the clip, as you would say, to count to three, then throw it. And obviously you go duck down in a bunker. And that was
did it make you nervous throwing them? Did you, when you threw a live one?
No, I think you know, you're only 18 or 19 in them days, and everything was an adventure. You know, you didn't see no fear in nothing you'd done, actually.
What about the Piat? Did you introduce the Piat or any sort of rocket launcher?
Yeah, we had a bazooka then. I don't know whether I've still got it today, I don't think they have.
And that was tell us about that.
That was a lump of barrel, which assembled, put it on your shoulder, and it used to go through, it's for tanks mainly, and concrete bunkers. And that was put in by the one who was firing it, had it on his shoulder, and it was electrically operated, and he used to put the shell in, connect it up.
Which end?
Obviously behind you. And they should connect it up with the wires, yeah, and made to put it in, and tap you on the shoulder, and you have a sight on it. I think it was about 100 yards, that's all it would go for, accurate. And that used to go, I think 11 inch of concrete and 6 inches of armour. But that's memory, no, whether it's right or wrong, it's about something like that.
What was it like when you fired it?
There wasn't a lot of kickback actually on it. It wasn't like a rifle, it was just sort of a... didn't have the kicker as a rifle head.
Any other weapons, sort of?
Revolver, Sten...
Did you actually do revolver training?
Yeah, only once. And that was the old officer's 38, which was, sort of useless.
How accurate did you find that?
Pardon?
How accurate did you find it?
Well, unless you're a cowboy, no, you couldn't hit a barn door with it.
As bad as a Sten, or?
Yeah, you know, unless you done heaps of practice, then obviously. But with it was an officer's weapon, but we only used it a few times.
Now, what about other things you might be doing during a typical day? What about PT or fitness?
PT
training?
Was a big thing in the infantry, a very big thing.
What sort of PT were you doing?
Assault courses, physical PT like in gyms, ropes, keep fit. Etc. They used to have PTIs, which a lot to be desired. They used to be dressed in black and red striped jerseys, and some sort of characters they were. Just run you and run.
I'll come back to the instructors. What were you actually doing in PT? You were a bit of a sportsman. How tough did you find the PT?
Very tough.
Even though you were a sport.
Toughest thing I've ever done in Colchester. Believe me, you. Once you come out here, you're so fit, it was untrue. I thought I was fit before.
So
I went
what
in.
Sort of thing would they do? I mean,
the assault course was...
Tell me about the assault course. Yeah.
Was full pack. And they used to put bricks in your back, load it up with bricks, and you used to run for a mile, walk. Then the assault course was obviously going across the river, swinging on ropes, climbing up nets, going over walls, all manner of things. And very, very... if you'd done it, you wouldn't be knackered. And they had a great, in their sense of humour, they would, stand at one side of the river, go to throw you the rope, make you dive for it, then hang on to it. And, of course, you're diving in thin air, they thought that was funny.
I will come back to the instructors. I know you don't like them. What about route marches?
That was
cross country runs.
Yeah, that was all come into the PT and physical training. You've done it every day, marching, running. It was a. It was just like a keep fit course. And that was the, you know, plus learning to shoot, that was the infantry.
What about gas training? Did you do any of that? You know,
yeah, he was a supply with a gas mask, a big mask, which you had to learn to fire a rifle with a gas mask on. That was a part of your passing out parade, which you become a, you know, infantryman. A lot of chaps in training never made the grade. Fell by the wayside, like, you know, never made a grade. And
what about the gas? Did you have to actually wear the gas mask in through a chamber?
No, I never done that. No. No, we never. The only thing time we wore a gas mask is firing a rifle. And once you got past that on all your weapons, that was a 6-week basic training.
What about tactical training? Did you do any. In the 6 weeks, did you do any sort
of. No, that can't.
Advancing and retreating,
digging
in.
No, that came in continuation training. Basic training was just basic.
Now, in the evening, what would you do in the evening then?
The evening was spend most of your time pulling your boots up and.
Tell us about preparing for kit inspection. I mean, how far did it go? Tell us about how would you clean your boots?
Well, it took up all your time. Like, you know, sleeping time was a minimum. Your boots, your best boots, obviously, that'd be spit and polish your toe caps. Almost you can see your face in it.
Was it really spit and polish? I mean,
I tell you. I've never seen any. I've never cleaned my boots in my life. But your best boots, which you went on parade with, they used to blacken, used to have heat, used to have spoon it, spit and polish, and they used to shine. And then, before, we were still on Blanco then, you used to have Blanco our equipment, our webbing, your belt, your gaiters, your pecs, then you set a brass over you.
Can you explain about Blanco? Because people now don't know what Blanco is. I mean, I know it sounds daft to you, but can you just explain what it was?
Well, Blanco is another form of, can you put it, like boot polish, but you put water instead of, it's not sort of, you use it straight as a, out of the block. You have to put water with it and make it up to a liquid. Then you used to brush it on your webbings, belt, and let it dry. It used to come out to like a greedy brown colour. And that was called Blanco in them days. And all your webbing had to be done. Your belt, your gaiters, your pack, your straps, your rifle strap. That was it. But that, you know, that was part and parcel, everyday occurrence.
And you mentioned the polishing, I interrupted you.
And the polishing used to be all the brass on your belts, on your webbing equipment, your overcoat buttons, which at an inspection used to be hanging up to a certain size with all your buttons showing.
Were you using a button stick still? Or
yeah, you used to have like a brass plate with a slot in the middle where you used to slide it down onto your bun and polish your way to the... It's the same as your hat badge. That used to be to a good standard.
And you'd spend hours on this?
Hours, all your evening.
And was there a method of laying it out on your bed?
Yeah, that was become a... every week we used to have a room inspection. So on the Friday night, you would never go to sleep on your bed. You get it prepared for the officer. You used to sleep on the floor. You used to have the cardboard tucked around your pillows with a blanket round. Square, the end of the bed. Obviously, the bed had to be flat. You used to have all your Blanco and kit on the bed to be inspected. Your overcoat used to be hung up a certain way with all your buttons showing. Your windows wouldn't be a slight bit of dust on anything. It had to be spotless. And used to be inspection every Saturday with the officer. Plus the sergeant major come round, and the saying is true that they did wear white gloves and used to run their finger along the windowsills and places, and if there was any dirt there was no, you didn't get weekend off or 24 hour leave or local, you know, you can go out for the evening into Colchester that you sort of spent all your time cleaning up and more inspections and etc. etc. So it was rather strict and cruel, really, very cruel when everybody's done their best and won't sleep on the bed the night beforehand.
Now, what about when he could get to the Ben, NAFI? What was the NAFI offering you?
Oh, that was, you know, sort of like a palace after the army cooking. It was, you know, you could get anything in there. It was lovely.
What sort of food? I mean, how good was it?
It was just like fast food, which, you know, at that age you enjoy, like sausages and your mash and all your...
But properly cooked?
Oh, yeah, it was lovely. The NAFI at Folkestone was, it was good.
In a way that the food...
You That's where all the money went.
That's all where all your money went.
And 99% of everybody's money went on the NAFI.
Was it a wet canteen? I mean, could you get a beer?
Yeah, you could get a beer, yeah.
Did you drink then, or at all, or...?
Yeah, you know, obviously we never had a lot of money in them days. So, you know, you couldn't eat and drink, really, and get drunk. So, yes, we used to have a drink, obviously, but not to that extent, because everybody was frightened of the training the next day.
So it'd be more like a half or a pint.
That's right, yeah. It wasn't serious drinking, no. Not like you see it on telly today. Or.
And was there any entertainment provided in the NAFI?
No.
I mean, darts or pool?
Oh, yeah, there was games, obviously. Darts, snooker, but there's no entertainment unless there was a piano, unless someone got up and played a piano or anything like that. But the little time was spent, you only went there for a meal because all the time was taken up with... You're bullying up for the next day. And so really, it was only going over there to have something to eat.
Would you get into Colchester much?
Little time he was allowed out, then you have to go out. He was inspected before you went out, through the gates with the MPs, I think the military police, I think it was in Asia. And they used to look at you, something terrible. And if you was, you know, if they... That was in a good frame of mind, they let you go. But once, having a game, you got in Colchester, there was all MPs walking about there, so you could never sort of walk about slumming or put your hands in your pockets because all of a sudden you hear a voice, I don't know, from miles away, and, you know, that chap, take your hands, put your cap on, or you're out on straight. So it was, you know, you never got away from the MPs at Colchester.
What would you do in Colchester?
Just go pictures, pub.
Pictures more than the pub, or...?
Well, yeah, that was the only entertainment in them days, was the pictures. But as I say, 6 weeks, we had little time, really, going to Colchester.
What about your pay? Where did your pay go? Do you remember how much you got and where it went?
I don't know, it was one lot. I think it was about 10 and... I can't remember, it was a ridiculous money then, about 10 shillings a week or... Pound a week, something like that. Now, you got a salute for it, go to attention, and it was a big parade. It was unbelievable to get your money.
But you were hard up.
Well, like obviously your parents sent you money for food and the rest of it. But you, yeah, yes, you were. Yeah.
Now, what about your?
Then you had to buy your own cleaning equipment. You have to go to NAFI and buy your own brasso, your blacking. Yeah. All the stuff you wanted for, you know, cleaning.
What about barrack damages? Were they bouncing you for those?
No, you got to... There wasn't a lot of damage done, if any, because she was too scared to do anything.
And you didn't get... Well, sometimes they charge them anyway, if you see what I mean. But you
No, you never... We had to buy our own iron for pressing your trousers, obviously, pressing your trousers. Or the alternative was to sleep on them under your bed. You just put... get some brown paper, packing paper, and put it under your mattress and sleep on your trousers. But that was a big thing in them days, ironing your uniform for the parade every weekend, muster parade, and like the sergeant major's parade every week. And that was a big thing. Then you had to have your best uniform, best boots.
How did you get on with the other lads, the other recruits, and what sort of different backgrounds did you find there? Were they pretty well?
Well, obviously, nobody put in their right mind put down for the infantry. So you've got a very range of chaps that come from all walk of life. And when you went round, nobody in their right mind would put down They went to the National Service. We had a few regulars, which their fathers were in, and, you know, were infantry people. But I suppose 90% was National Service, and nobody ever put down an infantry. Because you learn of other people that went before you to say, oh, we're going to Royal Service car, all we do is drive around all day. It's lovely. They learn you to drive or Royal Signals or anything like that, if it's got a trade in it. But nobody in their right mind to put down infantry.
And how did you get on with the other lads? I mean, were there mixed backgrounds, or were they all pretty much the same as yourself?
It was all mixed, and I think you got to the stage where, I mean, quite a few of them never made a grade. But you was determined, like, you know, you didn't want to be a failure with the fitness. So as much as you hated it, you wouldn't let it beat you, if you know what I mean.
We're friendly with the other lads. So do you see
you got more comradeship. Brilliant. You know, it's where all, it's true what they say. They learn, I suppose, the training is to learn you to be, everybody looks after one another, so to speak.
So you pulled together?
Yeah, it was as a group, fantastic.
I presume not, but there was no problem with stealing or bullying?
No. The only bullying was the Iraq.
That's what we're coming on to now. What about your instructors? You generally, the ones who lived in your room, the PT instructors, your drill instructors, can you just tell us generally how they treated you, how they behaved?
I think a lot of them had a down on National Service, because she was a National Serviceman. A majority were regulars. Well, they was all regulars, to be honest. Training. And I think they never see much action themselves. They joined in the last part of the end of the war.
You mean the Second World War?
Second World War, obviously, yeah. And they were sort of over-eager and took it out on the... I thought they took it out on the National Service.
How did they take it out on you? What was wrong? How did they behave that you didn't like?
It was, as much as you try, sometimes, you know, they were so powerful that, you know, they was giving you a sort of extra duties for silly things that, you know, you'd done and you tried. And in their mind, it wasn't good enough. Colchester was a prison anyway. A glass house. It was well known for, you know, all the people who committed a lot of offences in the army.
Do you think they knew this stuff, these instructors? I mean, or they were just bad at training, or were they just bullying, you know?
A lot of it in them days was bullying. It was, you know, diabolical, really. I'm sure if you got into prison, you would have got better treated.
And what about the officers? Do you see much of them at that time?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of distance between privates and officers. A lot of class distinction. Terrible.
And you were aware of that straight away at Colchester?
Oh, yeah. They got their own mess. They've got their servants. They've got their own batmen, etc., etc. Sergeants got the self-same thing almost. Very class distinction. The army was very, very... And the officers, like, you know, they wanted to be recognised, they wanted to be saluted. They pulled you up, and the Sergeant Major of Colchester, I'm sure he was built instead of being born. He was a man, you could see the back of his eyes. If you went across his parade ground, no matter what time of night, you would have been... he would have seen you.
How did you find army discipline?
I think it's the worst thing I've ever come across.
What was so bad about it? Why didn't you... I mean, you hadn't exactly been a wild lad, had you, before? I mean...
No, I think... I've never been... You know, I had good parents. Wasn't strict. And I think, you know, I respected that. I was the only boy. I never did make me bed. I'd never done me own ironing. I'd never done me own washing. I don't say I was pampered, but boy-like. I had two sisters, so I didn't... had to do a lot of sort of that sort of work. So when I got in the army, it was a sort of another story. When you had to do these things and the discipline, and I think everybody was in the sort of infantry in that class. Always, you know.
Now, you really didn't like it, did you? I mean,
not the basic training, no.
What was the worst part of it?
I would say the unnecessary bullying and everything that went on. You know, with like the white gloves, and you wasn't allowed to leave, and a little bit of dust, etc., etc. You know, it wasn't just the beds and the air basins, the toilets, etc. You know, it went on and on and on. You know, as I say, the 6 weeks basic training, you never had time to go out. You never had time for yourself.
Did it depress you? I mean, did you get home? Were you homesick?
No, you never thought about it. You're too busy. You're so occupied, nothing ever went into your head. And I think you got so determined that it wouldn't beat you. And I didn't want to be, I suppose, if you got fouled in the infantry, then you was put in a regiment, and it was a sort of degrading to say, I've come out of the infantry to go into like the Royal Signals or something like that. You wasn't sort of come up to stand as an infantryman or commander or whatever the case may be. So it was that sort of a determination that I suppose mainly things of, well, it won't beat me, I'll beat him.
And what about you passing out? What do you remember of that? When would this be before Christmas? Just?
Oh, the best day of my life.
What do you remember of it? Was there a parade?
Oh, fantastic parade.
Tell us about it.
We won the best platoon passing out. And it was a big parade. Sergeant Banyard, all the officers there. And it's the first, what do you call it, passing out parade. Then you have leave for a week. And you had a week's leave when you'd done your basic training. And
the passing out was a really proud day. So
oh, yeah, yeah, you felt...
They'd sucked you in, then.
You felt like it's all worth it when you forget all the bad things on the passing out parade. Your sergeant, even your sergeant's nice to you. You know, everybody becomes friendly. And
do you think it was worth the suffering you'd gone through? Or do you think they could have done
it? Yeah, I suppose it made a man of you. I've never done things that I did do in the army, as I say. I suppose, like all boys, are spoilt to a certain extent, the home life.
Now, when would this passing out parade be, roughly? I mean, would it be before Christmas?
Yeah, before Christmas.
In December? Or
I can't recall now. Yeah, it must have been before Christmas, yeah. We was passing out parade. Then we was allowed, it was our first leave from then. It was our first week's leave after passing out. Then you got a free ticket, railway ticket, to wherever you lived.
And how was it on leave?
Oh, you know, you sort of, you come home and you know, sort of, everybody's 7 foot tall. Marvellous. You know, you've done your training and your basic training there is. And then you're going back to be posted, what they call you, give you a posting then.
So what happened when you went back?
Well, when we went back after 7 days, the idea, you go to further training, then you get posted to a regiment.
So what about your further training? Where was that at?
Well, when we got back to Colchester after the week's leave, they had assembled in the hall. And obviously, they wanted volunteers to stop at Colchester to go and Red Berets, parachute regiment, which no, only idiots would have you know, stopped at Colchester. You go, you know, what was
so
no
you didn't go in for that?
No way. then your name was called out. Obviously, in the army, it's all alphabetical. The older your surnames, like all the A's, B's, it goes down. And a chappy I was with, as I was telling you earlier in the story, Brett, as we went down, our names were called out, all the B's, and we was transferred to the Northamptonshire Regiment. And we was going to go to Trieste in Italy.
That's where the battalion were?
That's where Northamptonshire Regiment was. We spent a week...
So, again, and you were going to do your continuation training?
Yeah. We spent a week getting new gear, kitted out, having our uniforms changed to Northamptonshire Regiment, Divanet badge, etc., etc. Then we went, it was quite an adventure, We went from Colchester to the Harwich to across to the Hook of Holland. Then we got on a train and went through Holland, Germany, Austria to Balek, a transit camp, which we stopped there for overnight. Then we got picked up by a coach with a trailer, went through Austria, which was, you know, not like a sightseeing, it's marvellous. As I say, my other adventure on that was Great Yarmouth. So this was all new and marvellous. And we got into Trieste, where the regiment was posted. It was right on the seafront. It was an old prison, apparently.
This is the 1st Battalion, I presume.
Yeah.
Northamptonshire.
Yeah.
And where were the interests? You say, did the prison have a name?
Yeah, once again.
It's all right. And this is still before Christmas?
No, this was, I think it was just after Christmas. I remember all snow.
You think January 51?
It was all snow on the ground and marvellous. I've never seen anything like it. You know, it was sort of bewildering to me. We got split up into different companies when we got there. A, B, C and D company.
Which one did you get?
I was in C company, I think, yeah.
And you were still with Brett?
No, he was in D company. He went in another company.
And how did they make you welcome? I mean, you know, you were Essex Regiment. Well, you had been Essex Regiment. Did you keep your cap badge? Were you, you know?
No. We had all our uniforms changed over to all Northamptonshire and knew our badge. Got kitted out.
What was your reception?
We even had pyjamas, blue pyjamas, silk pyjamas to go out to Trieste with.
What was your reception like when you got there?
Oh, what it was in them days, as the National Servicemen done their time, they got demobbed. We took there, obviously, we was new recruits, went into the regiment. So we just made up the numbers in the barracks, you know, where the vacancies come out, or they were short of, you know, 4 people in A company, 6 people in B, or 10 in so-and-so. They just put you in where they... people have got demobbed. So we just made up the numbers, and whatever they was doing, then you joined, you know, sort of...
They made you welcome them?
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing from the regulars? I mean, it was mixed, regulars and national...
That's it, yeah, that was a mixed...
There was no side to about...
No, I was... and I was quite good on sport. And I used to do a lot of interest then. I used to do a lot of guard duty. Navy house, that was infantry, you know, sort of navy house.
Tell me about the guard duties. What would you have to do?
Then, guard duties, used to do navy house. I didn't know it then, but Trieste then was a big port, and I used to have a lot of ammunition stored there for ships used to be there.
This was a Royal Navy.
Yeah,
but it was
and we used to guard the ammunition, the old ammunition dumps there, but it used to be on towers. Do you remember? Like the prisoner of war things. They used to have the phone in there, and that used to be the night time for guards.
So what was a typical guard duty like then?
You used to have, I forget, it was 2 hours on and 4 hours off during the night. They used to do quite a bit of basic training there.
Nothing ever happened on the guard duties then?
No, you get a couple of prowlers and all the rest of it, but nothing serious. It's just a matter of, like, you know, it's been done for years, and it was just like a formality. You used to do a lot of guards.
Now, what about the training? This would be your continuation training.
Continuation training, like, obviously, it was weapons again.
Anything new?
No, it was just for advanced, like, weapons. Not so much assault corps, marches, just further training, yeah. Sort
what
of
about
like.
Tactical stuff? Because
you used to go on patrols over training, like, you know, sort of muck up battles and etc.
How did you find that? Did you learn anything?
Well, it was all, you know, sort of, when you're that young, it was like cowboys and Indians, sort of, so to speak.
Not very realistic then?
No, not really, is it? A couple of smoke bomb goes off, and you said fire blanks and etc, etc. It's just a matter of training. Then we done